Good morning. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great and amazing. That's awesome.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Today we begin this new conversation together. We go on this new journey throughout Scripture to discover what it really means to trust God. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive into some crucial aspects of trust and how to strengthen our understanding of trust and to find a newfound confidence, remembering that word confidence, as you and I walk boldly in our relationship that strives to be fully committed to His plans for our life. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about a few different things. Trusting in God when you suffer. Pastor Stu is going to be heading that one up. Trusting God in reconciliation, that's going to be Pastor Doug bringing his heart in that area. Trusting God with your doubts, again, Pastor Stu is going to be tackling that. But today, we get to talk about trusting God's plan and will. Now, we might not see at face value the power in that word trust. And maybe it's because of how flippantly we use that word and we throw that word trust around today. I mean, we say we trust our mechanic. We trust our doctor. We trust our financial planners. We trust our pastors. We trust our friends and our family. But it's not that type of trust that we're going to be talking about, because that type of trust can be temporal. It's always fluctuating. It's based on the outcome that you and I get from placing trust in them. We trust the mechanic until the bill comes out to $2,500 and we wonder what kind of shady stuff's going on, right? We trust the doctor until we're not really happy with the service and how fast we were able to get into the office. We trust our pastors until they tell us something we might not want to hear. When the outcome of that trust means our plans have to change, so does our level of trust in that person. This type of trust that we utilize with man won't work as it relates to the trust that God is calling us to have in Him. There's characteristics found in that type of trust that contradict the idea of kingdom trust. So again, even in this conversation, we have to go back to the truth that we have to acknowledge that there is a kingdom play even in how we trust God, different than that of this world. That when we utilize that word, when we say that word, when we proclaim that word, that we trust God, it is not the same context of how we trust each other. And due to the way that we do life, and though interacting with the kingdom is only present maybe in some of us on Sundays or at certain events, we inadvertently do the same thing with trust. That it's not just an every once in a while thing that we kind of dance around or do, but it's an everyday and every situation lifestyle type of trust. I believe that as we go on this journey together, we're going to see the difference in this world's way of walking out trust and that of walking out His kingdom understanding of trust. When we hear that word trust, even now in this room, I'm probably guessing, and it did to me as well, we begin to think of how our trust has been broken throughout our life. And then often our defense mechanisms kick in, and because we don't trust anymore, and because we don't trust anyone more than we trust ourselves, we kind of take over. We do the opposite of the Carrie Underwood song. Instead of Jesus take the wheel, we take the wheel. We redo the blueprints. We trust our knowledge. We lean on our understanding. We place our confidence in ourselves. The word trust in that Proverbs 3 that I recited at the very beginning also means to have confidence in. Confidence, the feeling or belief that one can rely on someone or something. Firm trust, conviction. The state of feeling certain about the truth of something. It's this type of trust, this type of confidence, this attitude that says, no matter what, I am assured that God and His plan will prevail. That His plan is good. And that His plan will be accomplished. A trust that invokes His people to boldly serve. This type of buy-in sort of speak comes from a kingdom type of trust. when you trust something wholeheartedly, when you are convicted to it, when you have, when there's no other answer than what it is that you trust in that truth, then there is something that comes over us as believers that causes us to boldly serve, to boldly act, to boldly go after what God is calling us to. Amen? A trust that is not just swayed based on the plan at hand and how it looks to you or to I, or a plan where you believe it could be executed better if only you were in control. This morning I want to lay the foundation for the next 4 weeks. A foundation of kingdom trust in his plan. Because to trust him in our suffering, as we're going to talk about here next week, you got to know there's a plan in there. His will is in there. To trust him for reconciliation with one another, there is a plan in that. God's got a plan in reconciling trust with one another. To trust him with our doubt, there's a plan in that. We need to stop our trust issues that we have in the natural from hindering the trust that we're called to have in the Father. And realize that the Father is calling us to a deeper understanding of that word and deeply desires for a kingdom trust between him and his children, between you and I, between him and us. And that trust is interlaced in the plans, every plan of God in all of those areas that we talked about, much, much more. We need to cultivate God-trusting hearts. God-trusting hearts. In all that we do, and in all that we go through, in every aspect of his plan. So this morning, the two questions that I want to kind of rattle around in your brain as we talk about kingdom trust, as we talk about what it means to truly trust God and what kind of characteristics go along with that. Do we trust him with a kingdom trust? We're going to talk about what that means and looks like, and I'm hoping as we do, that question will make more sense. Better yet, do we have confidence in him and his plan for us? Before we do, and as we get into that, and I hope that begins to percolate and prime the pump for what God is doing in our hearts this morning, I just want to stop and say again, welcome to Disciples. We're so glad that you are here with us. What an amazing morning already and what God is doing, and I'm so expectant. Are you guys expectant in what God is doing in the atmosphere this morning and in hearts this morning? If this is your first time, I know Luke already welcomed you, but just one more thing on top of that feedback card. There's a welcome brochure in the seat pocket in front of you. We'd love for you to take that home. That's for you to keep. Read a little bit more about us here at Disciples. Find out a little bit more about what we're all about, and that's for you. Also, this would be a good time for you guys to bring out your Bibles. If you brought Bibles, awesome. If you need a paper Bible, there might be one under your chair. If not, there's an incredible app in your app store called YouVersion. We're going to be all over this morning. And it's kind of, I try not to. I know that it's hard to kind of follow along. But, sorry, kind of a thing. Because it's good to get in the Word. It's how we find out what God's heart is for these things. So that's what we're going to be doing. Amen? So let's pray. Father, we're so glad be here together this morning. There is a world, there is a kingdom that you are inviting us to not just live out in the great beyond, but right here, right now, you are inviting us to live out your kingdom here on earth. And we ask God that in this area of trust, that you would begin to speak to us, begin to cultivate new ground as we pray for God-trusting hearts. Because there is a difference in trusting you, Father, versus anything else that we've associated that word to, that we trust you completely. We have confidence in who you are and what you've called us to do. Father, open our eyes this morning, open our hearts as we go on this journey together. In your precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. There's something you might not know about me. I don't make a big deal of it, but I really love golf. Did you guys know that? Anybody know that? I love golf. I really do. I love the way the greens smell. I love the grass. I love the sound the ball makes when you make a good long shot. I love the peace and quiet of being out there. It's just an amazing thing. But that wasn't always the case. I actually hated golf, and I thought it was the stupidest thing in the world. I thought the clothes they wore were stupid. I thought chasing a little white ball, you know, for hours on end during the day was stupid. I could not stand watching it on TV. I made fun of people who did play golf. That doesn't sound like me, but that was how I was. This was early. This was in my early 20s, you know, late teens. And it just so happened that my first pastor that I youth pastored for was an avid golfer, loved golf, had all the gizmos and gadgets, and went multiple times a week. And he was always constantly asking me if I would go golfing with him. And usually I would have some sort of sarcastic remark as to why I'm not going to go out and go golfing with him. And until months went by, and he said, okay, no, Dan, you're going, okay? You have to. You're going. You're going to come with me. So he dragged me in the car. We went to the local golf course, and I thought, great, I'll go with him. I'll watch him play golf, and maybe he'll give me a way to drive the golf cart around and jump it off something. So here's what we're doing. We're getting to the first tee box, and he goes, and it was awesome. And I get up there not knowing really what I'm doing. He gives me a couple pointers, and then all of a sudden I swing, and it makes contact. And the sound, the feel, everything got me hooked. It was very quick. And I fell in love with golf. I fell in love with the clothes. I fell in love with the gear. I was no longer making fun of it. I was watching it on TV. I got hooked. And went a couple times with him. And he wasn't teaching me anything, but he was kind of giving me pointers here and there. And I started to find a rhythm and a comfort level of what I was doing, and I thought for sure I was doing it right. And so one of the other guys in the church who was more than an avid golfer, really, I mean, membership, went every day of the week, just was an incredible golfer, said, hey, I would love to take you out and show you a few things and teach you if you'd like, since you love golf now and all of this. And I'm like, sure, that sounds awesome. So we get out there on a Saturday morning early, and we get up to the tee box, and I'm getting ready to show him what I got. I mean, I've been playing for like a week now. I'm like, I'm going to show this guy what I got. I mean, I feel like I'm hitting the ball really good. I feel like I'm doing great. He's going to want to invite me to be part of his team one of these times or whatever. And I get ready. I get my stance. I'm getting ready to go. And just barely as I go into the backswing, he goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm thinking, okay, well, this guy must not know very much. He don't talk until he's backswing. Right? He's breaking the number one rule right now. What's he doing? And immediately starts to break down my stance, my grip, my swing. He breaks everything down, and for 20 minutes, I didn't even get the chance to hit the ball. He was spending so much time telling me how many bad habits I was already creating. And he says, if you want to reach your full potential, this is something you really love, this is something you really want to do, you need to create good habits from the start. You need to get rid of those bad habits you've been working on and start working on these things to help you reach your full potential. The thing was, my plan felt very comfortable. I've been doing this for a couple weeks now, and I already had a rhythm. I already had the way my swing fit. It worked. Everything he was telling me to do felt so uncomfortable. I don't know if you golf or if you ever have. You've had somebody teach you how to hold and do all this. It feels very unnatural. It feels very uncomfortable, especially if you taught your way a different way to do it. Because I didn't trust the plan that was being presented to me, because I didn't have confidence in my teacher, because everything he was telling me to do felt wrong, because I felt the need to take control after our time with him, I'd go right back to the way I used to do it, mainly because the plan didn't feel natural, didn't feel comfortable. I find myself today having to compensate to make my swing work. I find that today when I golf, I can make it work, but my bad habits, I've made work for me. But ultimately, they're holding me back. So whenever I get to a swing now, there's golfers know this. If you slice or you do any of that or you hook, there's ways you can stand. It kind of looks goofy, but you make the bad habits work. And I'll probably never reach my full potential in how well I could golf until I'm ready to break my swing down again and rebuild it with good habits and trust the plan no matter how uncomfortable it might feel, to stick with it no matter what. We have that same type of bad habit when it comes to trust. That biggest bad habit is trusting ourselves. This comes from years of trusting and getting hurt and finding out that your trust had been misplaced. It's from this that we begin this belief that if you want to do something right, you've got to do it yourself. This mindset, this type of trust creeps in its way to how we trust God, and it keeps us from fully embracing God's plan and will for our lives. If we can't trust the discomfort every now and again, if we can't trust the teacher, the one whom we are to have full confidence in to get us to where we're going, then we will only do and experience what we can do in the natural without Him. It's a habit we have to break. We have to break down our approach, our swing, so to speak, and trust God in the rebuilding process. Amen? Remember, trust the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. And that's really where it starts. Acknowledging that God is in everything and has a great plan laid out for us. To trust God's plan is to acknowledge God wherever you are and in whatever you are doing. We spend too much time acknowledging what went wrong, right? We spend too much time acknowledging what is not happening right for us. What we need to do ourselves to fix the situation that we're in. But to know His plan in it will require us to trust that He is in the middle of it all. And acknowledge the fact that God wants to help. It's the I got this mentality, right? I got it. I got it. I'm good. But to acknowledge the fact that God wants to help. You believe that God is wanting to help you in whatever you're going through right now. You trust that. You have confidence in that. When you go beyond what you want, when you go beyond what you think, when you go beyond what you feel, and instead trust in what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you, regardless of your understanding, we begin to break down the narrative, the normative, which is trusting in ourselves, to a habit of God, I trust you. I trust that you are here in this, and I trust that you want to work through this. And then when we do all of that, we get to ask the beautiful question, God, what do you want to do? Side note here, and it's not very biblical in its tone, but our understanding sucks. Our understanding can suck sometimes. Remember, lean not on your own understanding. It takes us to fully trust Him to get us beyond our own understanding, our own logic, our own rationale, our own reasonings for doing things, to see and to experience His fullness in whatever we are doing and wherever we are. Again, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So, whose understanding then do we lean? What understanding do we lean? Something happens as you and I stay the course in His plan in our life and rely on the understanding that He wants to provide through a relationship of trust. So as we build that relationship, as we spend time with the Father, there is an understanding that He is wanting us to have that is not our own, but that can only come from a relationship with Him. We find this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. You don't need to go to your Bible. If you just want to listen up, I'll just read it, kind of pull this apart a little bit. It says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that He has given to those all, His holy people who are His rich and glorious inheritance. 19, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe in Him. This the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. I pray that your hearts be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope He has given to those He's called. I pray that you will be understanding the incredible greatness of God. What is He wanting us to understand? That He is great, that He is good, that there is light, that He wants to flood us with a confident hope in who we are, that who what He's put into us to follow through and to see His plan made real and evident in our life. Trust and confidence in His plan keeps kingdom roots. It plants kingdom roots that cannot be shaken. Trust and confidence in His plan plants kingdom roots. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8, it says, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. This verse also shows us that trust does not equal sunshine and rainbow. But it does keep us grounded. That trust does keep us rooted in the Father's greatness, as we read earlier. It keeps us rooted in the understanding of His goodness, in His plan, in His will for our lives. And reminds us of who is in control throughout it all. Amen? A lifestyle of being constantly in awe is key. when we are in awe of God, when we are acknowledging his greatness, when we are acknowledging his goodness, when we are acknowledging the fact that his plan, he wants to make his plan evident in our lives. He wants to lead us into straight paths. That when we are in awe of all these good things that we all, if we would pause and stop for a moment in life and reflect on his greatness and his goodness, we begin to regain this awe of God. This incredible awe of God, that acknowledging him in all ways and watching as he makes straight our path. We begin to see in this and take part in his plan working out in and through our lives. We begin to see the more we trust him, the more we know him to be true. This is so simple, but true. The more that we spend time with him, the more that we trust him and give him that kingdom trust, the more we know him to be true, because we're going to see it made straight, the paths made straight before our eyes. The only way this stops is if we sabotage ourselves by trying to take control yet again and only acknowledging us and what we can do instead of how much greater and good his plan is. So how do we stop this from happening? How do we stop from going back to bad habits? Well, we can't trust someone we don't know. I don't care what series we're ever going to be in to implement new life, to implement whatever it is, it's going to come down to spending time with him. Sorry, there's no app in your app store. The more time spent with him in the word, in prayer, in his presence, in fellowship, hearing how he is doing amazing things in the lives of our community, we begin to build faith. And trust begins to grow in our hearts, and then this trust becomes evident in our action. As this happens, you can't help but to come to the conclusion that he is worthy of our complete trust and confidence. How? Because trusting in God is quite different than trusting in man. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? He is worthy because he has the power to bring to pass what he plans and purposes to do. We find that in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. The Lord of heaven's armies has sworn this oath. It will all happen as I have planned, and it will be as I have decided. Another part to his worthiness is because his plans are perfect, holy, and righteous. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38-38, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. A matter of fact, God desires his kingdom trust so much with his people for us to see and be a part of his kingdom now that he entrusted his people to be a part of the greatest plan that made it all possible, which began at the birth of Jesus. Now, I know Christmas isn't quite here yet, and usually we start referencing the story of Jesus' birth at this point. But you know what? This, to me, as I was reading and going through the word, is the greatest depiction of trust. Learned so many things throughout the story that I hope the Holy Spirit will speak to you as well. So we're going to read a little bit here in Luke chapter 1, verse 28-38. And you can go here and follow along and see if you come to the same conclusions that I've come to and see what the Lord might be speaking to you. It says, the angel went to her and said, greeting, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit, underline this part, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive in her 6th month, for no word from God will ever fail. 38, the home run. I am the Lord's servant, Mary Ann. May your word to me be fulfilled. And as great and as beautiful of a response as that was, and when I read it, I even had to stop because that is trust, right? I mean, do you understand what she's being asked to do? Do you understand the implications here? We could go on for another hour on just the implications alone, but I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. But I loved reading Joseph's thoughts pre and post the dream that he had to confirm what was going on here. Because his response and what he was getting ready to do before the angel came to speak with him was kind of like what we do even today. Joseph wasn't liking how this plan was going. He wasn't going to be comfortable in this plan. This wasn't going to be an easy plan to explain to his friends. There was too much unknown to be comfortable with it. So he tries to take control. He begins to come up with another plan. How do I know? Matthew chapter 1 says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Let me figure this out. Let me take the reins here because something's not feeling comfortable here. I heard Mary, tell me what's going on. I don't know if I trust that. I don't know if I'm confident in that. Let me devise a new plan. But then, as God does, he speaks to him. He spends time with him. He reassures him. He gives us the plan. And the beautiful part is he invites him to be a part of it. Verse 20 says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do, and took Mary home as his wife. Now, Joseph could have placed his trust in himself or continued to. He could have relied on human understanding and how all of this was going to look. He could have said that that dream he had was just a result from bad lentils the night before. I was hoping you were going to get that. But I was going to say pizza. That's usually my go-to. But I had to look up what they ate back in Jesus' time. And lentils was it. So maybe he had some bad lentils the night before. But Mary and Joseph placed their trust in the Lord and leaned not on their own understanding. They acknowledged what they had seen and heard and began to walk out the path that the Lord was making straight. This kingdom trust that we're talking about, to find out what it looks like. You can see it all right here in this encounter. Characteristics of kingdom trust, just to name a few here. There was no murmuring or complaining. Now, we only know what we read in Scripture. In that particular conversation, it was acknowledging the Holy Spirit was speaking to their life, not leaning on their own understanding, trusting in what the Lord had spoken. When we trust, it's easy to praise him in all things. With true trust in his plan, there's no need to complain in the up and down. I mean, if we truly trust and have confidence in God, there are going to be the ups and downs as we read in Jeremiah. But in those ups and downs, there's no need to murmur. There was submission to God's will in this trust. When we stop relying on us and rely on him, we have found a characteristic. We began to touch this idea of trust. There was obedience in the walking out of his plan. Trust creates a desire to see things through, to do what it takes. There was patience and peace. There was not a one-day trust exercise. This wasn't like a weekend getaway where Mary and Joseph do trust falls on each other. This was going to take some time. I mean, they were getting ready to have a baby. Trust allows us to be okay with and remain in his time. There was the hearing of his word and the acknowledging its place in their life. Sometimes we get the first part right when we hear the word of God and what he's calling us. Second part, however, gets a little tougher, is acknowledging its place in our life. I asked earlier, how can we trust who we don't know? And I love to invite the band up, even now, we begin to share just a few closing thoughts. I asked earlier, how can we trust who we don't know? You know, the Holy Spirit, the gift that Jesus sent to his church, the counselor that we read about in John 14, 26. As we go about our day, the same Holy Spirit wants to guide us, lead us, speak to us. God loves us and wants to lead us into all truth. Amen? To see this kingdom trust made real in your life and mine. So I want to ask a few questions to close this morning. That I hope that as we journey a little bit and just laying the foundation of what it means to trust, we really have to trust God. There's no point in talking about the plans that on later dates if we can't first grasp the reality that there is a different type of trust associated in our relationship with God. Do we trust Him? Are we completely confident? Do we lean not on our own understanding? Or do we lean on our own understanding? Or will we be flooded with His light to see and understand? Do we acknowledge Him in our day, in whatever we do, and wherever we are? Because as per Scripture, as per His Word, it says in doing so, He will make straight our path. Maybe there's some paths in this room this morning that you've been praying would get straight. Whether it's in your health or your finances or your marriage, maybe there's a straight path that isn't so straight. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. He'll make straight your path. Maybe you're in the room this morning and can't trust God because of your experiences and trust. I hope this morning you realize it's a different type of prayer. He is worthy of our confidence. He is worthy of our trust. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Maybe you're here in this room and want to trust God, but you don't yet know. This is your time. Maybe you've been coming for a while. Maybe this is your first time. But as you hear about this different type of trust, realize that you can't trust someone you don't know or know well. It's time this morning to get to know. There's too much evidence sitting in this room alone that proves His worth. How incredibly good and great our God is. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Think about those paths that might not yet be. Think of the areas where maybe you placed too much trust in yourself. Maybe there's some bad habits that need to be broken. And though it might be uncomfortable, though it might be tough to change the way you felt for so long, that you realize now that the kingdom trust that God is calling us to is much, much different. It is unbreakable. He will not fail. He will prevail. Called to a trust in His will for our life. As we trust Him with all of our heart, as we lean not on our own understanding, but lean in the understanding that He has given us, that He wants to shed light on, that He is great, that He is good. He's given us everything we need. And as those kingdom roots begin to grow deep, begin to know in whom we trust. Our lives be submitted in such a way that we would serve boldly in every area of our life. Acknowledge Him in all your ways this morning. Watch as you're invited to see His kingdom make straight your path. Father, we love you. We bless you. I pray, God, that as people even now are making decisions to answer that question, answer that question honestly, that what needs to be changed would be changed. There'd be a declaration made this morning of trust to you. And for those that want to know you more, I pray, God, they would begin the process to nudge closer to you. He would seek you out, spend time with you, fellowship with you, begin to give their lives completely over to you. Father, we love you, your precious name. We pray, and all God's people said, man, if this is a morning where you've made a decision to nudge closer to Jesus, maybe this is your first time saying, you know what? Maybe it's time to get to know. I would love to talk with you. We have a prayer team that would love to speak with you. Maybe write that down on your welcome card and drop that off. We'd love to give you a call. God is good, amen? Let's worship him a bit longer.